Welcome back to THC. I'm Kelsey.
I am Kimmy.
And every Monday we all get to hang out, smoke, and talk about true crime, conspiracies, and all the other creepy and unsolved things you talk to your besties about while enjoying the devil's lettuce.
So if that's what you're into, join us. Subscribe so we show up on your phone every single Monday and leave us a rating and a review because it will feed our egos.
And you can also hear more of us for only $5 a month during our smoke breaks at patreon.com/trulyhighcrime.
And you can, And you can also follow us on social media at trulyhighcrime. I am KimmyGrace420.
And I'm Kelsey Paulus.
How are you doing, Kelsey, in the 2 days since I've seen you?
I was thinking about that. I was like, what are we going to talk about? But I guess I'll say I am seeing Lord in Detroit
really?
On April 5th.
That's fucking exciting. What's the venue?
Like the Masonic Temple.
Oh my god, I love her.
I've never been there, but I'm excited for this.
I love that for you. That's so exciting. I can't wait to hear about it.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm good. Nothing's changed in the past 2 days. I had my weekly therapy today. It was good. I got nothing. I had to burp. Nothing's changed in my life. So no more bagpipes. You haven't seen any more bagpipes?
No, I wish. I hope I have a similar like experience this weekend.
I feel like that was probably very like cathartic of just like hearing the bagpipes and then actually getting to see them, because I feel like I would think I was hallucinating. I was thinking about that like after you left last week. I was like, I would probably think it was fake and like just be like, shut up, there's not bagpipes, like do not say anything.
I can't even still believe it. And it was probably like a sign of like something, but I still have to. Oh wait, did you ever figure out what that crystal was?
Oh yeah, oh my god, so I stole this crystal out of a bathroom because I was having a day, and I was in the bathroom at this restaurant, and it was literally just staring at me, and it was really pretty, so I took it, and I was like, this might be bad luck.
Oh my god.
Are you okay?
There it was. Oh my god, that was so weird. Sorry.
It's okay, I know. I know exactly when that happened. It was like, I'm coming out of it. So I steal this crystal, and I had no idea what it was, because I want to get into crystals, but I don't know anything about crystals. So I just posted it on my Instagram story. If anybody is looking for a way to get engagement on Instagram, fucking post a picture of a crystal, because people that I don't even know were responding telling me about this crystal. I was like, thank you. It's just a quartz. But everybody was like, this is a quartz. Here's what it does. And the yada, yada, yada. And people, I have no idea who they were. So if you're looking for engagement, ask about crystals on your Instagram story. So yeah, it's a quartz. It's in my windowsill still. I charged it last night because it was a full moon.
I got a new one yesterday too.
Let me see.
It's an opalite.
Where do you get them?
This one's from Huff and Stuff.
Oh my gosh, that's beautiful.
I was like, wait.
Wow.
That's eye-catching.
Next to your nails? I need to take a picture of that.
Wait, so true.
That's so cute. Oh my god, I love... I'm going to post that on Instagram.
Yes.
Okay, love. I didn't know Puff and Stuff had them. But anyway, we're talking about reincarnation today. Have you ever met somebody who claims to be reincarnated?
I don't think so, honestly. I was, like, trying to think of, like, any personal, like, reincarnation stories, but, like, I have, like, nothing that I can even think of.
I have one brief one where just when I was young, this girl that I was friends with somebody whose mom claimed to remember being a bird in her past life. And she, like, would talk about how she, like, remembered flying around, and she, like, would talk about, like, being in the jungle and, like, being afraid of, like, big birds and stuff, or big cats and stuff like that. But I never talked to her, and this was just word of mouth. That's my only reincarnation story.
That's interesting, especially when it's like, like those like fears, like they're rooted into like the next person.
Yeah, like you can have like a weird phobia, because that's part of like a sign, quote unquote, if you've maybe like been reincarnated, if you have like a weird phobia that you have no idea what it stems from, but like you're just like afraid of birds or like afraid of big cats or just something like that, where you're like, what the hell? I have no fucking idea where that comes from. If you don't know, reincarnation is just the belief of rebirth of somebody after they die, whether it is their physical body, or like their consciousness, their mind and their soul, or everything. But the main belief is that it's your soul that continues to get like passed on after your physical body dies. And it's mostly believed in Asian religions like Hinduism, Jainism, Buddhism, and Sikhism. And they also believe in karma, which is like the belief that what you do in one life will impact what will happen to you in your next life. So like, for example, in a physical sense, birthmarks. A lot of people have the belief that like a birthmark that's like a dark spot could be from a bullet, or like a white spot is from like a healed burn, or one of them was like a really, really dark spot that's like big is from like an unhealed burn. It's just like crazy to think about. Like, do you have any birthmarks?
I don't think so. I only have like little freckles.
Yeah, I have little freckles. I have a white spot on my back. And I literally never knew about it until I was like 17 and I saw it for the first time. I was like, when did you get there? So, and I can only see it when I'm tan. So like, don't know, but it's just like, what a connection. Like, what a weird way of thinking about it. Like, not weird way, but like interesting, different like take of looking at things.
Yeah.
The belief of having multiple souls is common in a lot of religions. A lot of people like have like that belief, whether they're religious or not, and just think that like your soul can escape your body when you die. And like your body is just a vessel and your soul just continues to live on forever. And so it can like find a new home in anything, like in a butterfly or a bird or like another human or a rat, like literally in anything. Oh, that just made me think of Ratatouille.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. I love Ratatouille. Great movie. Anyway, there are just a few recurring indicators that, like, happen to people that, like, show that maybe that you have lived a past life. And they are getting deja vu a lot, having recurring dreams or nightmares that feel real, and having irrational fears and phobias, like we talked about, like birds or water, or even numbers, which I think is interesting. Like having like a, just like a disposition against certain numbers and being like, don't like it. Feeling like spiritually connected to a different culture and not like really understanding why, and just like feeling like you belong to it, even if you don't, which is like, oh, I don't know about that one, yeah. But. Also having like extreme passions and like hyperfixations that you can't figure out the root of, like something that you're just like insanely passionate about. Do you have something? What is it?
No, I'm just laughing because like, I feel like I do that. Like, just like, I don't know. I don't know what I was going to say. Sorry, I keep going.
I get deja vu all the time. Like, I always feel, we talked about like feeling like something that we're seeing in real life has happened in our dreams before, or like sometimes I'll be somewhere and I'll be like, I swear this has already happened, like I remember this all exactly already. And like that's a weird feeling, and I always point it out when it's happening too, because I'll be like, just so you know, I've been here before. Like
I literally said that. What did I say one time? I was like, I've been here before. I don't remember where we were, probably some random ass place, and I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I was like, I'm kidding, but I'm also, like, not at the same time.
Yeah, no, I just get, like, every once in a while, I'll just get, like, a weird sense of, like, no, I've totally done this. I think I've said out loud before, like, I've been here before. Because I've been here. Like, yeah. I've done this before. And then another big one is childhood memories that you're so completely positive that have happened, and your parents and your family and the people that were there are like, no, that didn't happen. And I have a story about that you're going to hear in the smoke breaks, because I still to this day can't figure it out. So subscribe. Thank you. We're just going to tell a couple stories of like people who claim to be reincarnated, and Kelsey's going to freaking kick it off.
All right. So we're going back to the 1950s here. So this is the story of Jacqueline and Joanna Pollock. They were two sisters. Jacqueline was 11 and Joanna is 6. And in May 1957 in Hexham, England, this woman, like, I guess, lost custody or just, like, lost possession of her children in some way. And she was, like, really upset about, like, going on a spiral, like,
hard whatever. Time.
Yeah. And so she takes aspirin, a bunch of aspirin and Phenobarb, which I looked it up and it's like epilepsy or like epilepsy preventing medicine.
Okay.
And so then she gets into her car and she's like driving around for a while, and she like hit a wall and slammed into Joanna, Jacqueline, and then their friend Anthony. Mm. And they were on their way to church. So it was probably Sunday morning, I would say.
That would make sense.
So then a year later, in October...
Did they die?
Oh, yes. Yeah, they died. Sorry. On October 4th, 1958, their mother's name is Florence, and she gave birth to two identical twin girls, Jennifer and Jillian. And right away, her and her husband were like, okay, something is, like, weird here. And so, how we were talking about birthmarks, Jennifer had a birthmark identical to one Jacqueline had on her left waist, and also above her right eyebrow, that Jacqueline got after some incident. I think she, like, hit her eye or something. So, Jacqueline is Jennifer, and then Jillian is Joanna.
Okay.
Essentially. And there was this story that their parents told where, they brought out toys that, Jacqueline and Joanna had when they were, like, alive, and the girls, like, immediately went to, like, their respective toys. Like, they each had their own toys that they played with, and they were, like, they didn't, like, they just, like, went to them. So that was, like, another sign. They were, like, this is weird.
Yeah.
Also, another thing to note, or I guess just, like, another, like, coincidence that they noticed was, back when Jacqueline and Joanna were, like, young, their grandma was, like, kind of their primary caretaker. And then when Jennifer and Jillian were born, they had this, like, attraction immediately, like, to their grandma. Mm-hmm. And, like, they would go to her for, like, guidance and stuff like that. So then this, like, really specific incident, too, happened when they were 5 years old. And essentially, Florence, their mother, used to wear this smock that where she used to help her husband, John, deliver milk when Jacqueline and Joanna were alive. But when they died, like, she stopped doing that and, like, immediately put it away.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day, her husband, John, was just, like, wearing it around the house. And Jennifer asked, why is he wearing mummy's coat? I'm like, what?
That's so weird.
Like, I feel like in, like, all of these stories, there's always, like, that kicker where it's like, okay, what are you talking about?
No,
like,
for real.
It's astonishing.
Yeah. Like, it gets to one point where you're like, okay, fuck. Like, I wanted to not believe this until it's like, okay, fuck, how did you know that? Like,
yeah. So, I guess, like, another thing that they, I guess, like, I just wrote, like, a bunch of, like, traits that they had. Like, they also had, like, some, like, I guess, PTSD to, like, cars. Like, they didn't really, like, seeing them drive, I guess, and, like, they would point out landmarks and things that, like, were on the first, like, try, like, going to a place, like, they had already, like, been there before in their neighborhood, like, they never had to, like, ask for help, like, going anywhere.
That's so crazy.
But these memories all stopped when they were 7, and I found that happened, like, in, I think it happened in all of the stories I researched, and, like, I don't... Do you know why that is?
Kind of. It's always around that age of, like, 6 or 7. And, like, in one of the cases that I'm going to talk about, I think it's the next one, but one of these cases that I'm going to talk about, I think it's that the person who might have been reincarnated into him just had some more to say. Like, just had some stuff to get out. And then the kid, like, as you grow up, you kind of just forget. Because, like, I think that happens, like, as, like, normal people. Like, not, like, if you're not reincarnated, like, you have memories as... Yeah, child, like, when from your childhood that you just kind of, like, start to forget.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just kind of what happens. Like, you just kind of start to forget. But I don't know, because I don't know if I believe this. So it's like, yeah. I don't really know. Like, is that just the age that their parents can stop telling them what to say? Like, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. I was like, that's probably where you start getting, like a social, like, awareness, too. Mm-hmm. And, like, you start learning about the world. But there are, like, a couple theories, I guess, that people are, like, this, like, that kind of prove that it could be real. Some people say that their parents, like, projected, like, Joanna and Jacqueline, like, the idea of them, like, onto them, like, a lot, which kind of makes sense because they were only born a year after they died.
Yeah.
Like, I think that would, that's a lot to process. Like,
yeah.
That was, like, kind of, like, shocking to hear, like, that, I guess.
Honestly, it's coincidental, even the fact that after her two kids died, she got pregnant with twins. Like, yeah. That in itself feels just, like, a little coincidental. Like, you lose two, and then you get two back. Like,
yeah.
It, like, is obviously a terrible thing to go through, but, like, what a blessing.
Yeah, and that's what, like, John was saying. Like, he was, like, a devout Catholic, and he really believed in reincarnation. So a lot of people were saying, like he would, like, ask God for signs of to prove that reincarnation was real. Mm-hmm. Like, he would ask, like, a lot. Like, he was insistent on it, and, like, maybe, like, his sign was, like, his daughter's, which is unfortunate, but, like, he, like, was asking, like, just prove it.
Yeah, like, show me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But he got them back.
Quote, unquote, back, like, yeah. Yes.
So, did he get his prayer answered?
Oh, like, that's so weird. So, this was in the 50s. Like, this was a while ago. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they're still alive, the twins. Because, mm-hmm. like, I wonder if that's something that they just, like, don't talk about. And they're like, yeah, we don't remember. We don't know. You know? Like, mm-hmm. or if they're like, yeah, we still think that that's, like, we're our dead sisters. Like, we think that's us. Because, like, what a crazy thing to, like, go through. Especially as a child. Like, if your parents raise you, like, with that, like, hey, you had two sisters, but they died and you were reborn in them. Like, that would kind of feel like you're getting something projected onto you.
Yeah, that's true.
Reminds me of the Disney line, the iconic, like, this isn't my dream, it's your dream, Dad.
Ah, is that from Inside Out?
I think it's in Inside Out. I think it's in, I know it's in Ice Princess. I know it's in, I fucking loved Ice Princess when I was young. It's in a few Disney movies.
Really?
It's so funny.
That's fun.
I think Zac Efron, Troy Bolton says it when his dad wants him to keep playing basketball. I don't know. It's just like, yeah. That's anyway.
But yeah, okay. So that was the story on them. And I guess next, after the smoke break, we will talk, Kimmy will talk about Luke
Ruhlman.
Ruhlman.
Okay, so Luke Ruhlman. This story is honestly pretty fucking crazy. It's one of those, like, I honestly was like, okay. Like, this is, I'm like, okay. Like, I think I believe him. He was born in 2010 in Cincinnati to Erica and Nick Ruhlman. And since the time he was born, he was, like, super duper cautious. He was really timid of everything. Like, he was just nervous. Like, he was scared of everything. Like, he was afraid of crossing the street, anything that could be, like, super risky. He hated fire and anything that was, like, hot. Like, he hated hot stuff. But he was really smart and super developed at a young age, and he could, like, speak full sentences and, like, developed thoughts at age 2, which is apparently really young. I looked it up, and most kids can't do that until they're, like, 3. So,
okay.
Good for him. Smart kid. Since he could start talking, he called all of his toys Pam. Like, the girl toys were Pam, and then the boy toys were Luke. So, like, the parents were like, okay, like, whatever. Like, I don't really know where he got Pam from, but whatever. His favorite toy was a piano. And from the young age, he just fucking loved Stevie Nicks. Like, or no, not Stevie Nicks, Stevie Wonder. The wrong Stevie. Fucking loved Stevie Wonder, and he just, like, loved, like, 70s music, and his parents described him as an old soul. Like, he just was, like, a young, like, he was just, like, a cutie, like, a young kid who loved 70s music. Adorable. But the name Pam came up all the time, and his parents were like, I don't fucking know. Like, we don't know any Pams, but he's probably just has this, like, overactive imagination and might be, like, an imaginary friend or something. Did you ever have imaginary friends?
Yeah.
Same. I had a few.
Kimmy, I have to say something.
Let it out.
Why, like, this is gonna sound insane. Why, like, was, like, Drake Bell one of my imaginary friends?
Are you dead ass? Are you gonna say the same thing? No, but
you were so surprised. I thought you were gonna
so close. Mine was, and I hate it now, but mine was Jamie Lynn Spears.
Yes.
Because I loved Zoe 101.
Yeah.
And I was like, me and Jamie Lynn Spears.
Besties.
That's so fucking funny. Yeah. So you and Drake were good friends?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm crying because I cry when I laugh.
I'm so glad. Like, I always feel like, I don't really know if I've ever told anyone that. I'm going to be honest with you.
I'm so glad it's off your chest and it's on the internet forever. Bye, Albert. That's amazing. I don't know if I've ever told anybody mine either. And then I had one named Rose that I made up when I was on vacation. I have family in Texas and we were just fucking miserable. We drove all the way to Texas and it was terrible. And I was like, I hate my siblings and I need somebody else to talk to. So I made Rose. And then Rose was my friend I talk about that in therapy too. And my therapist is like mental illness. And I'm like, yes, I know Kim, but let me tell you about Rose. Oh my God. Rose was a good friend. And I took Rose, Rose was with me everywhere. I took her to school. And then I got made fun of one time for talking to nobody. And then I stopped talking to Rose. Sucks.
Like, yeah. Kids are fucking mean too.
Kids are fucking mean. Mm-hmm. Don't love kids. Anyway. Okay, so when Luke was 5, his mom was finally like, who the hell is Pam? Like, who is this Pam that you keep talking about? And Luke looked at her, like, with, like, a dumbass look on his face and was like, I was Pam. Like, I used to be Pam. I died, and I went to heaven, and then I saw God. But then he pushed me back down, and then when I woke up, I was a baby, and you named me Luke. And so his mom was like, what the fuck?
Terrifying.
Kids are literally terrifying. Like, oh my God. Can you imagine your child saying that to you?
Yeah, that's like such a, that's like a, not bizarre, but it's just like a, it's terrifying thought. Yeah. That's honestly the word.
And my first thought was like, okay, well, his family is religious and probably like made that up and was like, look, heaven is real. Like my kid went, cause that's what those Heaven is for Real movies were. And like those, that shit. But the mom was like, we're atheist. We don't talk about the Bible. We never told him about death. We've never talked about like anything like that. Like we have no idea where he got that from. We don't talk about God. Like that's not in our house. And they also, these parents never wanted any money from the media, the attention that they got. Because they went on a show called, like, The Ghost Inside My Child or something. Mm-hmm. And they didn't get any money from that. And then they got offered a bunch of book deals. And they were like, no, like, we don't want a book deal. Like, we just wanted people to know, like, what's going on. Like, we just wanted to raise awareness about it. And so they, like, that's kind of why I kind of believe them. Like, they had no incentive. They had no, like, they're not famous now. Like, it's just interesting. So after Luke said what he said, Erica was like, what the hell do I do? And so she called her mom, like, naturally you do, you call your mom. And her mom told her about a book from the 70s that was about reincarnation called The 20 Cases of Suggestive Reincarnation by Dr. Ian Stevenson. And a lot of cases, like, of the cases in the book that he talks about were, like, really similar to Luke's case of, like, a child saying something that's, like, matter of fact, like, yeah, duh, like, this is what happened to me. I've been alive before. And just, like, situations like that. And soon, like, after that, Luke started pointing out things that he would remember from Pam's life. Like, he would look at a pair of earrings and say, like, oh, I had those when I was a girl. Or he would, like, look at a picture of a girl and say, like, that looks like me. And he would say, like, I was a black woman with black hair. And so his mom was like, okay, like, I don't know what to do. And so she just kind of like stopped asking him about it and didn't bring it up. They didn't talk about it for a while because she was like, if this is some like imaginary friend that I'm like feeding into, I don't want to do that. Like if he thinks he's going to get like attention from, like she didn't know what to do about it. So she just dropped it and like figured that he would drop it. And he kind of did. But then a year or two later, they were watching a documentary about the Oklahoma City bombing. And he was 5 at this time, I think. 5 or 6. And he got like freaked out, which like, okay, a 5 or 6 year old would get freaked out watching like a documentary, like a building blow up. Like that would be freaky for a 5 or 6 year old. But his mom was like, no, it's okay. Like these are actors. Like this isn't real. Like it's safe. Like everybody's okay. And Luke was like, it's not that that scares me. I just didn't like watching that because it reminded me of the way that I died.
Oh my God.
So scary. Ugh. And so his mom was like, okay. like, how did you die? And he said that Pam died in a fire, and then he made a motion with his hand like he was standing on something and then jumped out. Like he was jumping off of something. Just you fucking wait, because this motherfucker. Okay. So then he does the hand motion, and then he talks about remembering seeing that, like, the last things he saw were, like, a big city. And he just remembered, like, the big buildings and all the lights and everything. And then he remembered also, like, living a life where he would ride a bike through the city, and he would ride the bus, and, like, just he was Pam in the city, and he was able to say that he lived in Chicago. And his parents were like, never been to Chicago, never talked about Chicago, never anything about Chicago. And it's Chicago to him. Like, he remembers living in Chicago. So his parents are literally just like, what the fuck? Like, like, what do you do in this situation? I don't know what I would, like, if I would ignore it or just be like, like, okay, like accept it. I don't know, man. So Erica finally starts doing some digging, and she starts doing some researching, and this investigative queen Googled, quote, Chicago Fire Pam.
Hell yeah.
And she actually found a lot, and she learned about a hotel called the Paxton Hotel that caught on fire in 1993. And it was in Chicago, and the fire had actually spread to the staircases, so there were people that couldn't escape and got stuck in their rooms and had to jump to their death, including a black woman named Pamela Robinson, who was 30 years old and jumped from the building as an attempt to try to save her life. So now his parents are like, what the fuck? Like, there's actually somebody who... what do we do? Like, it was just like it lined up too much. And so that's when they went on the Lifetime show called The Ghost Inside My Child. And they just did a test of like a bunch of pictures. And one picture was of Pamela Robinson, the woman who died in the fire. And then there were just a bunch of other like lookalike pictures. And they sat them down and they like showed them the page. And they were like, show us, like point out who you used to be. Or, like, tell us if you recognize any of these pictures. And he said, I don't recognize any of these, but I remember when I took this picture and pointed to the picture of Pamela.
Oh, that's so weird.
It's so fucking weird. And then it gets even weirder because he was like, I actually even remember, like, the story behind when this picture was taken. He knew where it was taken, when it was taken, and what happened the night that the picture was taken. Like, he could account the whole night and, like, was like, and then we took this picture. Like, told a story. So then Erica was like, all right. And they reached out to Pamela Robinson's family just to learn more about her and, like, tell them what was going on and say, like, are you religious? Like, do you want to meet my son? Like, do you want to, like, hear about this? Or do you want to, like, ignore it and move on? It's because I feel like that's the right thing to do. Like, because, like, if that happened to me, like, if somebody in my life died and then, like, somebody was saying that, I would love to know if they were, like, talking. Even if it were, like, bullshit, I would like to meet them and, like, mm-hmm. talk to them. So they reach out to the family, and Luke knew the name of Pam's father and was able to talk about, like, details of life, like, Pam's life, that Pam's family was able to be like, yeah, that's, like, what happened. Like, he knew, like, stories about Pam's life that nobody else knew. And they also find out that Pam loved Stevie Wonder, and she loved playing the piano.
Oh my god. That's literally... I'm like, okay, that, like, solidified. Like, okay, maybe it's real.
That's exactly the point where I was like, okay. Like,
that's crazy.
Yeah, because all of it, and, like, the way that he, like, knew things about her life that, like, nobody else would know. It's so fucking crazy. But by the age of 7, he pretty much stopped talking about Pam. Like, it stopped coming up, and, like, we said earlier, like, this is pretty typical. Like, they just kind of stop and, like, forget. And, like, most people believe that Pam lived on through Luke because she was still just processing her death. Like, she died in a really traumatic way, and, like, she needed to talk about it. She needed to, like, be heard. Like, she just hadn't processed it, so, like, she couldn't move on into whatever life she wanted to move into yet.
Yeah, that's interesting, and I actually really like that.
Me too.
Because that's really...
it's weirdly comforting. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like, it touches my heart. I'm like, okay, Luke, but yeah, he's just out there living life now. Doesn't remember it. But imagine that happening to you. Like, imagine, like, somebody dying and then somebody reaching out to you and being like, hey, my son thinks that he's your dead friend.
Yeah, that's scary.
Like, it's fucking terrifying.
I wouldn't even know. I would literally be like, I would probably think that person is, like, crazy. Honestly, like, that's so bizarre to, like, actually hear. And also, like, to hear, like, what did he say to his mom? I forget what it was, but
like how he died and everything.
Yeah, like hearing that as a, like, mom, like, okay, this is weird. But I remember one time I was like 5 or something. maybe I'm, like, reincarnated. No, oh, I don't know. One time I, like, was just on the couch with my mom, and I was, like, 5 or 6 or something, and I started crying, and she was like, why are you crying? And I said, I just don't want you and Dad to die. Why did I say that?
Okay, I swear we've lived the same... Excuse me. I swear we've lived the same life because I had an irrational fear of my mom dying when I was young. And I think that, like, I remember, like, explaining it away when I was older. Like, oh, that's kind of, like, common. Like, you love your mom. You don't want her to die. But I was like, my mom is going to die at any given moment. My mom is going to die. What do I do? What do I do? Like, I was, like, so scared of her dying. And I remember there was one time where in order to get to the, like, basement to do laundry, you had to... She had to, like, okay, so you had to, like, step into the garage, and then there were, like, a couple stairs down to where the laundry was, and I couldn't find her, and I think it was, like, just us two home alone. I was probably, like, 4, and I freaked the fuck out. Like, I was, like, running around the house. I almost called 911. Like, I had it dialed. I was, like, I don't know what to do. I can't find my mom. I was yelling for her. And then she just comes walking up the stairs. She's like, what? And I was, like... Like, I was, like, screaming, crying, and she's like, what? And I was like, I thought you were dead. Like, so what was wrong with us?
It's so weird. So I'm like, okay, maybe we were processing.
Somebody's death.
It wasn't just like, oh, my parents are like, because mine, like, I still think about that shit, like, today. It's so weird.
It is weird. Like, what's going on up there? Whose soul is this? I love this next story.
Yeah, this one was also pretty.
I just need
like.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was gonna come out or not. Thank you.
Of course. Yeah, this one also was really reassuring to me too, and it's like history tied, so I kind of like love it. Also, I just want to say before, I don't know why I want to say before this, but like I'm not kidding. Every time. I just think about John Green
making them make kiss in the Anne Frank house.
I'm like, seriously, what's wrong with him?
He ruined an entire generation of women.
Like, I can't even begin to like explain it. That's so weird.
Do some boat. I literally tweeted the other day. Like, I'm not even kidding. The other day, tweeted. John Green single-handedly set the women's rights movement back 1,000 years. Why was he a grown man writing those books?
I will never understand.
Disgusting.
It's weird.
Disgusting.
So, okay, if you don't know, we were going to talk about maybe someone who has been reincarnated from Anne Frank. So, Anne Frank died in 1945, and... This woman named Barbara Carlin was born in 1954 in Sweden. And at 3 years old, she was, like, asking to be called Anne. Like, she was like, don't call me Barbara, call me Anne. And her parents were like, huh, okay. And she was convinced that her parents, like, weren't her real parents. Like, she was, like, saying that, like, her real mom would come to get her because, like she probably was, like, remembering, like, Anne's parents because she was so like young.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got Coraline vibes from that, like real mom.
Yeah.
Thought about that. Mm. But she would also have nightmares that white men were coming up the stairs to like come and attack her in her family's attic, which was like a big fear of them, like when they were hiding.
Right.
And when she was 7 or 8 in school, they started learning about Anne Frank in class, and she was like, what the fuck? Like, how do they know who I am?
Oh my god.
Because like, at this point, like, the diary, like, wasn't, like, published. In Sweden, I believe it was published in the late 50s.
Okay.
So, at that time, it was. But, like, when she was, like, born, it was, like, not. So, that was, like, probably, like, just a traumatic experience for her. Like, being, like, in, like... reliving that too, and also yeah. being like, now everyone knows who I am.
Yeah. Why? And like, imagine sitting in class and learning about yourself.
Yeah,
that would be so fucking weird.
I can't even like I don't even like seeing like if I have to like see a video of myself or like something like that, like I'm always like, ugh.
Yeah.
But some other things that Barbara was afraid of, she was afraid of men in uniform.
Me too.
She had an aversion to beans, but because, like, her family, like, they would eat a lot of beans when they were, like, hiding, because that's all they had. And she would take baths instead of showers because she was afraid from, like, gas chamber showers. And she also, like, didn't like getting her hair cut because, like, she was afraid of, like, getting her head shaved, like, when they would take them to the camps. At 10 years old, she and her family, they go on a trip to Amsterdam, and they're like, let's go to the Anne Frank house.
Did she, like, tell her parents that she thinks she's Anne Frank?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, they know this.
Okay.
And so when they decide to go, they try to get directions, and she's like, no, it's just around the corner. Like, it's a 10-minute walk. And she, like, led them, like, whatever, like, right there.
Oh, my God.
I was like, okay.
Okay, yeah. This is not only proof that reincarnation is maybe a little real, this is also proof that generational trauma is real. Like, that shit gets passed down. Like,
true.
Oh, that's so heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm. When they got inside, Barbara froze, and, like, she said, or her mother said that, like, she grabbed her hand, and it was ice cold. Like, she was just, like, so scared. Again, like, probably another traumatic experience for her. And, like, the whole time she was there, like, she had, like, difficulty breathing and, like, was kind of, like, panicking. And her parents were, like, now, like, as she was, like, leading them through the house, like, she was, like, looking at all this stuff, and they were, like, seriously, what the fuck is going on?
That is insane. Like, for some reason, this is, like, touching me. I'm like, my eyes are watering. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, why was I... some of these, I was like, this is really, like... Especially this one. Like, this one's really, like, touching, I think. Not touching, but it's like...
I can't even find the word for it. It's, like, heartbreaking and, like... Thinking of her being so anxious, like, in the Anne Frank house, it's, like, the trauma that she endured and, like, mm-hmm. the way that, like, being back in that, like, that's so sad. Like, that's, like, oh, that's just a lot, man.
Yeah. So, eventually, it did get, like, too much for her, and she was, like, I have to get out of here. So, she ran out, and she was crying, and, like, when she got to, like, that, she, like, was running down some stairs, and she, like, stopped and, like, she just, like, collapsed and was, like, crying. I'm like, I'm like, she's, like, from, like, the last story, like, she's, like, still, like, growing through that extreme trauma.
Yeah.
At 10 years old,
I was gonna say, like, she's 10,
But also something else that kind of, again, is, like, another reassuring point was she was a really great writer when she was young. She had her first published work at 12 years old, so it was really similar to Anne, like, writing and in her diary.
Mm-hmm.
And she went on to publish, like, a lot more stuff, and, like, at a young age.
Good for her.
Like, come on. That's fucking badass.
Yeah, like, bad bitch energy. I love you, girl.
But, again, like, her memories began to fade after her, like, she started to, like, grow older. But they resurfaced in her 40s when she started working for the police force or something. Yeah, the Swedish police service. And, like, she was triggered by men in uniform. And, like, she was starting to have, like, weird feelings toward the other officers.
That's so, like, that makes me uneasy.
Yeah.
Like, because she just has that trauma. Like that's the phobia thing that we were talking about of, like, she's scared of that and, like, doesn't really have a reason as to why other than her past life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, poor girl.
And how do you even, like, accept that? Like, how do you talk to some, like, a therapist and be like, yeah, like, cause that's, like, so specific to you, like...
I feel like you'd have to find, like, a spiritual, like, person, like, type therapist who would, like, listen to you and accept you and, like, understand that. Because, like... Yeah, because, like, to say to a therapist, like, I'm working through past life trauma, they'd be like...
What do you mean?
Well, they would immediately be like, okay, so what can I prescribe you?
True. So, like, true. So, another, like... Okay, this is, like, kind of a cute, like, I guess, ending, I guess. So, more, like, confirm this. So, the last living member of, like, Anne Frank's family. His name was Buddy Elias, and he was the president of the Anne Frank Foundation, and he, like, knew of Barbara, so he invited her to dinner because he was like, I want to meet her. And right when he opened the door, like, they were like,
Oh my gosh.
And like, I think they cried.
That's gonna make me cry.
I'm like, are you, that's, that's, I don't know.
Does he think that that,
oh. Yeah, he like said, he was like, I have no denial, like this is her.
Like, what the fuck? That is so, like, what the hell? Like, what, how? Is she still alive?
I'm assuming no, because she was born in 1954. Are people, no?
I mean, my grandpa was born in 1930 and he's still alive.
Oh, yeah, wait.
I think she's 67. That's okay, it? She looks just like Anne Frank.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, the pictures, like, sometimes they're like,
oh my god.
It's shocking.
She literally looks just like Anne Frank.
God.
We'll be posting.
Yeah.
I'm shocked. Okay, well, that's Anne Frank.
That's Anne Frank.
That's like...
Barbara. Yes.
Honestly, especially since Anne Frank's family feels like it's Anne Frank, that's like a comforting almost kind of thing of like she gets to get another try. Like... Because her life was taken so early and unjustly and wrong. And, like, it's disgusting. And the fact that she gets to go again and get another shot. Like, yeah.
That's so true. See, some of these stories are, like, really heartwarming.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I like it.
Love. When we come back, I'm going to be talking about this kid who thinks that he is Princess Diana. So,
yes,
we're going to take a smoke break and then we're going to talk about that.
If you've been wanting to treat yourself to that new piece or bong or whatever you want to say, now's the time.
And we can give you 20% off your entire purchase at isellglass.shop using the offer code TRULYHIGHCRIME at checkout.
They have a wide variety of really cute bongs and smoking accessories.
But of course, these pieces are for legal substances only, and you have to be at least 18 or of legal age to smoke in your area.
So go to isellglass.shop and get 20% off your entire purchase with offer code TRULYHIGHCRIME.
Billy Campbell is a four-year-old man. Billy Campbell is a four-year-old, and he is the son of an Australian TV host, David Campbell, and Lisa Campbell. And Lisa is British, which comes up later. So he has a famous dad. And when he was around 2.5 years old, Billy started telling his parents that he thought that he was Princess Diana. And they were like, okay. And it started because Lisa got a card in the mail with Princess Diana on it. And Billy pointed at it and was like, look, like, that's me when I was a princess. And his parents were like, okay, like, kids are so quirky and weird. Like, they say so crazy things, you know, and kind of just brushed it off. But then 3-year-old Billy kind of just started, like, referring to people as, like, his boys. And he would talk about, like, his boys. And they were like, what boys? Like, who are you talking about? And they would be like, my sons, my two sons. And they would be like, you're 3 years old. Like, it was weird. And so they just kind of like kept brushing it off, like thinking he was being a little weird. They're like, okay. But then Billy was talking to a friend of his parents who were Scottish. And Billy was like, I fucking know about Scotland. Like, Scotland, I know about. And he said he used to go to a castle there all the time called, I'm going to say this wrong, Balmoral. And there were unicorns all over this castle. And Balmoral, I don't fucking know. It is the Queen of England's residence castle in Scotland. And the unicorn is the national animal of Scotland, which is fucking crazy and cool. Like,
yeah.
That's fucking dope. Like, I want to talk about that. But... also, there are unicorns all over the walls of this castle. So, he was right. So, his parents are like, what the fuck? How does he know this shit? And his mom is British, but she wasn't, like, into the royal family at all. Like, she didn't have any memorabilia. She didn't talk about them. They didn't watch the show. Like, they didn't keep up with it. Like, they did not keep up with the Kardashians. They did not keep up with the royals. And they didn't talk about the royal family either. So then as he started, like, growing older, Lisa and David just kept asking him questions about, like, his life as Princess Diana, and they would try to get stuff out of him. And every once in a while, he would answer, and sometimes he would be like, no, I don't want to talk about it. But one time they asked who else was in Billy's family when he was a princess, and he said that he had both brothers and sisters, and that he had a brother named John. And then Lisa was like, got him, because apparently Diana's brother's name was Charles. So they were like, okay, so it's not John, it's Charles. So he was just like making this up and he said a name, whatever. But then they were like, let's Google him. And they went to Princess Diana's Wikipedia page, and she had an infant brother named John who died a year before Diana was even born.
What?
Like, how the fuck did this kid know this shit?
Yeah.
So throughout all of this, they claim that they, like, did not give him any additional information about Princess Diana. And it was just like, whatever he said, they were like, okay, buddy, like, sure. Like, we believe you. But really what fucked them up the most was, Lisa showed Billy a picture of Princess Diana, and he says, that's me as a princess. And then one day the sirens came and I wasn't a princess anymore. Yeah. Like,
oh my God.
Yeah. Like, it's like, it's pretty like vague, but it's also like how, what, like what? I wish he like talked more about it, because I bet he, if that was Princess Diana in there, I bet he had shit to say.
Yeah.
And I would like to hear it.
I would like to hear it.
But I don't know. So now they're kind of just like, at this point, they're like, our son used to be Princess Diana. Like, I don't know what you want us to say. And like, what, like, kids are fucking crazy. Like, mm-hmm. insane. And he's still young. Like, he's that, he came up, like, this came out in 2014, and he was 5 at that time. So, like, he's still a young, like, he's a teenager now, but, like, he's still young. Like, crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he's listening, because I have questions. Like, do you still feel like Miss Diana? Princess Diana, I should call her?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I honestly and don't. Oh, you go.
No, I was just thinking what he thinks, like, today of the royal family.
That's what I was going to say, because, like, I don't follow the royal family, and I didn't really know much about Princess Diana, but while I was researching this, I, like, read her Wikipedia page, and I was like, oh, okay, I can see why people are invested in this story. Like, it's mm-hmm. pretty interesting, and there's a lot of, like, juicy stuff, like, and then I was like, we should do an episode about this, and then I was like, no. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe, but no. It's just, it's not that interesting to me. It's like, those are, they're just old, rich, white inbreds, other than Meghan Markle. Like,
yeah.
They literally bred within each other's family.
Like, oh my God.
The queen and her husband are cousins.
Oh my God. The like fucking, it was like the magazine covers, and it was like how we met or whatever when like Prince Philip died. It was like true romance. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Whatever y'all say. Whatever.
So
whatever.
Fucking weird. Yeah. Well, that's pretty much his story. I want to talk to him, but that's, what's his name? Billy. That's you, Billy.
Come on, Billy, talk to us.
Billy, give us a call.
That'd be awesome. I guess someone, Jamie, I couldn't find his last name either. They maybe said it in, he was on, like, the ghost inside my child, too. So maybe they said in there, but I forgot. But I just said Jamie Titanic.
I could not find it anywhere. I like Google. I tried looking up so many different things. I couldn't find his last name. But anyway.
So Jamie, he says that he was on the Titanic, and this is another. This one is like, this is probably my favorite one, I will say.
I'm excited.
As a preface. So from a very young age, he was like obsessed with the Titanic. Like, he watched the Titanic for the first time when he was 4, and it triggered, like, memories of him, like, sailing and dying, he said. Like, after watching the movie, like, he would draw, like, a bunch of, like, pictures. Like, literally, like, his mom was, like, it's not even just, like, one or two. Like, he would do it all the time, and, like, they were so detailed of, like, the inside of the boat, like every single like room and everything.
Oh my gosh.
Something that was,
kids are just scary.
I know, and that's something I really like when they're like artistic with that stuff, because that's like shit.
Yeah,
it's just real. Like, and like his mom was like, you can't do that after watching the movie once. Like, that, and she was like, that movie's, like, about the romance, too. And he, like, could, like, pick out, like, specific memories. And he also, this is really sad, he would have night terrors, like, where he would run around the house and, like, try to find, like, an escape because he was, like, felt like he was trapped. Mm. And he would never, like, swim in the deep end, or if he did, he was, like, really scared. And one day his mom came back from him being babysat and found out that he had watched the last half of the Titanic. I don't know why, that's all she said in the documentary. But, like, after this, that's when he started, like, drawing and painting a lot. And he would get, like, really upset about the sinking. And specifically with, like, the boiler room, he was like, they shouldn't have died down there. Like, he, like, felt guilty that they died first.
Aww. And, like, survivor's guilt.
Yeah. And, like, he, like, felt, like, guilty for, like, mistakes made in, like, the building of the ship, too.
Oh.
So, they were like, okay, that's a little interesting. So, that's something to just note, I guess.
Yeah, like, he felt responsible for it. That's sad.
Mm-hmm. And also, like, another thing is his parents, like, his mom, like, didn't, like, suppress it. Like, she allowed it. Like, she was just like, okay, like, you were. And, like, she got, or I think it was maybe his sister who got him this, a Titanic, like, PC game. And it was, like, point of view, you're on the Titanic.
Oh, my God.
Like, you have to get out, I think. And, like, something like that. And, like, his sister was sitting next to him, and he was just, like, going through it flawlessly. And I've been like, no. Like, crazy. Again, like, kind of like the Anne Frank thing.
Yeah. That's crazy. Like, knew it.
About the shipbuilder. So they think that he was reincarnated into a guy named Thomas Andrews, who was the chief ship designer of the Titanic, and he would go on the boats, like, after, like, he would go on their trip.
Mm-hmm.
So he something like about him that was, like, really, I guess, like, notable about him is he was, like, he fought, like, when they were building, like, there weren't enough lifeboats. And, like, he himself, he was like, I'm not getting on a lifeboat. Like, when it was going down, like, he was like, it's my fault, probably, at the time. And he wanted to build the Titanic out of steel instead of iron. Because I guess when iron, like, when it gets, like, ice cold, it's, like, it can, like, snap easier, and steel can't. And, like, he was upset that they had to get the ship built by, like, a specific date.
Mm-hmm.
So, more just, like, a bunch of, like, guilt.
Yeah.
Shit. This was huge, like.
That poor kid was born with so much fucking drama.
Yeah.
Aw. That's so sad.
It's seriously, he, like, and he, like, accepts it, too. Like, at the end, like, he's like, yeah, that was me. But, when he was six, his parents took him to, there was, like, this Titanic exhibit that maybe was, like, touring or something like that, and they had to stop in Chicago, and they were like, we have to take him. Like, he needs to do this. So they hoped that this would be, like, you know, like, a kind of, like, a solidify, like, this is for him, like, to see this.
Mm-hmm.
So, he was there, and he was, like, very, he would, like, walk around, like, he took his time throughout this exhibit, like, and he was, like, looking at everything, like, intently, and, like, he was having, like, some reactions, like, his shortness of breath, and, like, he would get kind of, like, scared sometimes, just, like, probably seeing things.
Yeah, like, the reminder, and, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, after this night, after they go to the exhibit, his mom, she calls it the death dream. He was home alone with his mom when he was asleep. This was late at night, and she was watching TV. And she heard a banging on his bedroom wall, and she runs off to his room, and he's, like, on all fours, like, shaking, and, like, just, like, in a, I don't know, like, an attack of some sort, and, like, he screamed, she's going down.
Aww.
And, like, his mom said, like, it sounded like a man, like, it didn't even sound like him. I don't know what that means.
That's scary.
If it was a deep voice, I would literally.
That's so fucking scary. Oh my God. So I would literally be moving out without the child.
That is serious. Like,
Oh, I don't like it.
That was my least favorite part.
That's crazy, though. Like, when was he born? There's I couldn't find that much info about it.
I think he was 6 in 2000, so 1994. Okay. Oh, yeah, and at the end of the episode, like, he was in it. Like, he brought him in, he was 19, he was like, yeah, I was Thomas Andrews, I was on the Titanic, now I study, like, computer something. It was just so random.
I mean, I was on the Titanic.
He was like, yep, it was me. And, like, oh, as, like, after that dream, like, his mom said, like, his obsession with the Titanic started to, like, die down. And, like, eventually he just stopped talking about it. And at the end of that episode, he said, quote, I'm just very at peace with it knowing I died on the Titanic. Jamie, age 19.
That's so fucking crazy. Imagine going to school and having that, like, being in college and having that icebreaker.
Yeah.
I died on the Titanic.
That's so fun. And also, like, I wonder, too, like, when they started learning about it in school. Because I think we learned about the Titanic.
Honestly, I don't know. I remember, like, doing my own research on the Titanic because I was like, oh, that's great. Like, I remember seeing the movie and being like, oh, damn. Mm-hmm. But honestly, I didn't know the Titanic was a real thing the first time I saw the movie. And then I found out it was. I was on a cruise with Casey and her grandma and her aunt on the 100-year anniversary of the Titanic. I was like, this is probably bad luck.
Yeah.
But
I am scared of the ocean, like, a lot, so I, like, could never go far out like that in any sense.
I am too, but I'm not afraid of cruises for some reason. Like, I don't feel I've been on two and I love, like, I think it's so fun. Like, yeah. It's like always like I probably won't go on one again because I get seasick now. Like, I get nauseous really easily. Mm-hmm. So I just know that it wouldn't be fun anymore. But, like, when I was young, I had a good time. But I have, like, I've always had a weird irrational fear of deep water. Like, whenever I'm on the deep end of a pool, I always think, hold on, I think I just unlocked something. Yeah. Maybe I died in a shark attack, because I have always fucking thought that there's a shark under me. Wherever I'm swimming, I'm like, there's a shark under me, there's a shark under me, there's a shark under me, there's a shark under me. But I also love sharks, so I'm like, not that mad about it if there is a shark under me. I just want to be aware of it.
Yeah.
And, like, you know those videos of, like, the underwater camera and there's, like, a shark going right under people or something? I love watching those. They give me, like, a weird thrill. But did you have the same thing?
Yeah, like, I feel like I just, like, I feel like it's the same thing, like, for me, like, when you're, like, running up the stairs. Like, it's, like, when I'm swimming in the deep end, literally, I'm, like, in my grandma's pool, and I'm like, there's a shark!
Yes!
Girl, fucking, what are you talking about? That's so
funny. I know, it's so funny. I remember one of my mom's, like, I think, honestly, my mom used this girl for her pool, but we were, I guess they were friends when I was growing up, but we only ever went over there to swim. And and I remember being like, because she had a diving board, like, it was a nice ass pool, and she had a diving board, and I remember, like, jumping in and being like, it was like 12 feet deep, and being like, shark, there's got to be a shark. Like, I know that there's a shark in this pool. It's like, hold on, like, well, girl, like,
take a fucking breath,
like, seriously. Literally. Life. I wonder if that's, like, just an us exclusive thing, or if, like, other people. I would like to know. Please tell us.
Oh my God, yeah. Honestly, if anyone can relate to, like, other, what was the other thing? There's something else that we were like, okay, same life.
Drake Bell.
Yeah.
And Jamie Lynn Spears being our imaginary friends. Like, is that things that, like, is that normal? Like, did you guys, like, did other people do that? I genuinely want to know. I'm gonna have to post something on Instagram.
Yeah,
I'll get a little sound snippet of this. I'll remember when I'm editing. So freaking tell us your reincarnation stories or thoughts, because it's so fucking interesting to me. It's like we talked about before we started recording, I think that, like, my opinions on reincarnation are like, okay, like, sure, if that's what you want to believe. But then hearing shit like this, I'm like, okay, yeah.
That's so true.
Like, I have no doubt in my mind that woman is Anne Frank.
Yeah, so true. That's like, I don't really think I've had any like ghost experiences, but like there's no doubt I believe in ghosts.
You do? Mm-hmm. Yeah, same. Oh, I've had a ghost experience. Should I tell my story real quick? Oh my God, it was fucking scary. There was, I mean, I need to even think of where to start. So there was, we were trying to stay up all night at my friend's house because there were people that were like driving by and throwing trash in her front yard. So we were just trying to stay up all night and see who it was, but then we fell asleep. Mm-hmm. And we got in bed and our heads were on different ends of the bed. And she like shot up. Like she was like, and I was like, girl, what? And she was like, somebody just breathed in my ear. And I was like, shut up, like, stop, like, shut up. And then she like lay back down and we like started going back to bed. And then I got so cold. Like, I was like shivering cold. And then I like made her give me another hoodie and like a blanket and I couldn't warm up. Like shivering, like shaking, like freezing cold. And then we finally like laid back down and then we lay back down and then like 5 minutes later, I heard in my ear, literally like clear as day in my ear. I heard it. I felt it. And I did the same thing that she did. And I was like, and she was like, what? And I was like, I heard it. Can we go?
What the
and we
fuck?
Went and slept in her living room. It was so fucking scary, bro. It was like the weirdest thing. And like, the way that it felt, I'll never be able to like explain because it was like, there was something there.
Yeah.
Like it was like my wrist. I was like, there's something there.
No, I literally believe you. That shit is so real.
That's so fun.
After that, I don't know how I would survive. Honestly.
I had a hard time sleeping over at her. Like mm-hmm. we would sleep in the living room for a while. Cause I was like, I can't mm-hmm. do your, cause when I think it was like, there was a couple things in her room that were from like her great great grandparents and stuff like that, and shit like that just freaks me out. Like it just freaks me out. And she had a couple other stories of stuff happening at her house, and I was like, I just don't like this. Like this freaks me the fuck
yeah.
out. Because I don't think they had bad intentions, but just like knowing that there's another like spirit or like something there that is also in my space. Like I just want to, and I don't know what they want. It's freaky.
Yeah, that's so true. I don't want it. Personally, it's not for me.
Same. Like experiencing it was like honestly cool because it's like, okay, wait, like I 100% like it's confirmed for me. Like I have no doubt in my mind, but it was scary.
Yeah.
Like it was scary. We could do a whole episode about ghost stories. Good idea. I love that tangent because I love talking about ghosts. My mom has a story that she loves to tell about watching like our toys move across the floor as kids. And, like, that shit freaks me the fuck out because we were kids. Like,
yeah.
Were we playing with them? Like, could we see them? Is that Rose, my imaginary friend?
Yeah. Ah! So Jamie looks fierce. She loves Zoe 101. Oh.
Hey, Jamie. That's so funny. But anyway, I hope everybody has a wonderful rest of your day, week, time, life, whatever. We'll be back next week. I don't remember what we're going to talk about. I don't know if we came up with anything, but you'll find out next week.
Bye.
Bye.